I speak to you in the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Four teenage boys from working class families in Liverpool began singing together in a band called the Quarrymen. Aha, aha. George Harrison was one of those boys. His father was a bus driver and his mom worked in a shop. They didn't have a whole lot of money to spare. George, Ringo, Paul, and John were ordinary boys whose simple lives inspired them to sing. To sing this song in particular. I'll give you all I've got to give if you say you love me too. I may not have a lot to give, but what I got, I'll give to you. I don't care too much for money. Money can't buy me love. No, no, no. This verse too. Say you don't need no diamond rings and I'll be satisfied. Tell me what you want, the kind of things that money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can't buy me love. Well, we all know the Beatles rose to the top of the charts time and time again and became kings in the music world. What happened to their perspective on living a simple life with someone you love? They sang of their experience of living in a working class neighborhood where one's expression of love for another is just simple and beautiful and more than enough. And yet they didn't stay at that level for very long, that level of simplicity. They rose above those working class streets of Liverpool when they struck it rich on the global music scene. Why wouldn't they have wanted to do this? To be on the same level as the lords and ladies of England. Making it big is the dream of many who have little. Overcoming poverty and crushing it into the ground by being on top of the world seems like a normal thing to want to do. Wouldn't this have been natural for the crowds following Jesus through the grain fields, the valleys, and shorelines of Israel? The class of people curious about Jesus are doing their best to survive in a land run by a corrupt oligarch who has falsely risen to the top with a bit of brown nosing to the occupied forces. Men in dirty Carhartts and women cleaning scales off their aprons are among those interested in what Jesus is saying. Single mothers with sick children and widowers with bad backs stand in the clinic queue Jesus is running. Orphaned teenage boys are lining up behind James and John, the sons of thunder, looking to fight, wanting to rise up and find themselves living in a palace like King Herod one day. Jesus has been identifying with each and every one of them. He knows what it is like to work hard to put bread on the table. He often went to temple, brushing the sawdust off his robes to hear the word of God with Joseph. One day in the temple in Nazareth, when the passage from Isaiah was to be read, he stood up and read it out, identifying himself as the one in which the Spirit of God has come to bring good news to the poor. Since then, his thoughts have gone up and down, replaying those 40 days in the wilderness where he was tempted to make bread out of a stone and to command authority over all the kingdoms of the world by bowing down to the devilish deceiver of humankind. Jesus' thoughts have taken him up to the mountain to gain perspective about the people looking to him to crush poverty and hunger and sickness. Up there, he contemplates and prays to God, seeking wisdom for his next move. His move is downward at the break of day. Jesus' move is to call and appoint 12 men to stand level with him and a great crowd of believers and disciples. A great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Luke tells us this. He tells us that they all stood level with each other because the land was level. No one was higher than another in this place. No one was lower than another in this place. What a picture of humanity. Where is Jesus, if not right there, on the same level with all of them? One by one, they limped towards him, and he sang life into their sad hearts and broken spirits and wounded bodies. The Creator's blessing rested upon them all on that level field where Jesus sat. Jesus sat on the level ground that reached up from the mountain behind him, and he looked up at the 12 men he just commissioned to be his apostles, his journeymen, his band. He looked up at Peter, Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, Simon, and Judas Iscariot, and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." These are the first words he sings over them. Hope and joy resonate within them as they begin to hear the new song God promised to give his people when he makes them kings of the world again. What do the apostles imagine will happen now? What do ordinary folk with little money in their pocket hear in the words, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God"? They hear a verse in the new song of Psalm 149. The Lord delights in his people. He crowns the humble with salvation. Whew. Their maker is now dancing and singing with them as their triumphant king, and they will be given crowns. For a moment, when Jesus speaks of the kingdom promised to the poor, they see diamonds glittering all about them. The lyrics of the final stanza of this new song of Psalm 149 rises up in their minds as well. With swords in hand, they will bind their kings with shackles. This will be the glory of his faithful ones. So they imagine, so they dream. And yet Jesus is telling his apostles that being poor, hungry, weepy, mocked, hated, excluded, even cursed, do not mean that they no longer have God's blessing. Rather, the simple, contented life of ordinary folks is where you will find God singing songs of blessing. First Nations Version puts those words of the Beatitudes in this way. Creator's blessing rests on you who are poor and in need. The good road is yours to walk. In essence, you are on the right road, even if you are poor. Creator's blessing rests on you who hunger now, for you will be filled to the full. We know that Jesus had said that he lives not for the bread of this world, but the bread of eternal life. We can be filled with the Spirit of God and even have a hungry stomach and be okay. Creator's blessing rests on the ones who weep now, for your sorrow will turn into laughter. There is a way to find joy in suffering. Creator's blessing rests on you when you are hated and rejected, looked down on and treated as worthless, all because you have chosen to walk the good road with the true human being. Creator's blessing rested on Jesus when he was hated and rejected, and gave to us a vision of true humanity. When this happens, let your hearts be glad and jump for joy. The spirit world above you will honor you, for this is the same way your ancestors treated the prophets of their day. You are walking in their moccasins now. You are walking in their shoes. Sorrow and trouble are for those who have a life of ease. This is what goes next after all these blessings. It's tough. Elvis Presley was a big deal when I was a kid. My dad had all his records, and we would dance in the living room to Jailhouse Rock, twisting and gyrating just like Elvis, right? Well, Elvis was the musical inspiration for those teenage boys of the streets of Liverpool. But he had a very rough childhood, raised by a single mom, living on welfare in a poor farming community in Mississippi. He crushed poverty with his guitar and his moves until one day he became the king of rock and roll. I will never forget watching Elvis's last TV concert with my family. His sorrows and troubles flashed from his white diamond-studded suit. He crushed poverty, but was crushed by the kingdom of ease in the end. The lyrics of the new song of the Creator, the one Jesus Christ sang out on that level field to his apostles, promises, he sang out a promise that will be count, that we will all be counted as one of the saints of God if we believe in these words and live by them. These words of blessings and woes that we find in Luke 6, 20 to 26. Are words of comfort and guidance, words meant to help us to not be tempted to leave that field where no one is above another. There and only there will we find Christ and the saints of God working hard to raise up the humble, and in that, the exalted will be taken down. Luke and all the saints of God sang the song that lifted up the humble and revealed the folly of the diamond-studded kings of the world. Money can't buy you love. The blessed life, the happy life, is found in simplicity and contentment. From heaven, the saints sing into our ears the eternal truth that Christ stood among us and told us that we are all rich, that in the mystical body of Christ, we stand on level ground, where nobodies are somebodies. Let me close with two stanzas from our truth, the truth of the church. It's a song that I remember singing as a kid as well in the Catholic Church. When true simplicity is gained, to bow and to bend, we shan't be ashamed. To turn, turn will be our delight, till by turning, turning, we come round right. 'Tis the gift to be simple. 'Tis the gift to be free. 'Tis the gift to come down where you ought to be. And when we find ourselves in the place just right, 'twill be in the valley of love and delight. That's the ground we stand on, my saints, our saints, the saints of God. Amen.